Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And title of my message tonight is Fulfilling Your Mission. Fulfilling Your Mission. You know, it was really cool watching Brother Larry's video this morning and his ministry that he has over in South Korea, and really his whole focus on the U.S. military over there. And you may be thinking, you know, why do we need missionaries just to the U.S. military? That seems kind of silly. I mean, don't they have chaplains there to meet the spiritual needs of the service members? You know, aren't there people? I mean, they're Americans. They got to have access to the Bible. Well, let me just share a little backstory with you. August 16th, 1992, I boarded a bus from Jacksonville Processing Station on the way to Parris Island, South Carolina. Anybody familiar with Parris Island, South Carolina? Oh, I got some hands. That's awesome. The sand flea capital of the world. Yeah, the sand flea. In fact, one of the times during training, we had a week of mess duty. And we'd have about 10 minutes before our drill instructors came to pick us up. And we would go out behind the mess hall and we'd have to stand in formation waiting for them to come pick us up. And so we would have competitions on who could withstand the sand fleas the most. And you'd be standing there at attention, I mean, just covered head to toe in sand. I mean, they were biting you so much your muscles would twitch. But man, you were determined you were not going to let that sand flea get the best of you. Yeah, the sand flea capital of the world. I loaded that bus and I was optimistic. I was excited. I was on fire. That is, until that drill instructor came out of the building and boarded that bus. Then all of a sudden reality kind of hit. You know, you're kind of like, you know, you're 18, you're smartest guy in the world, you know, everything. I'm gonna be a Marine, come back. And all of a sudden that guy comes on and he talks really nice at first. He does. And he's just giving us some instructions, and then, oh boy, it changes. You didn't sleep for like a week. In fact, I remember my first night, everybody was amazed. When we woke up, I was in the exact same position as when I went to bed. There wasn't even an extra wrinkle in the blanket. But what's my whole point with this? The point is I embarked on this journey full of just hope and excitement. I was going to make a 20-year career out of it. The problem is I was holding some deep spiritual issues in my heart. And that was right before going off to boot camp, because of experiences I had in high school. I had made a decision that I wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. I saw what his followers do, and I wanted nothing to do with it. And so I go off into this new career. And listen, when I signed on the dotted line, they wanted me to do computer technology and all of that. And I told my recruiter, no, I wanted to blow things up. I wanted to go, and if I'm going to be a Marine, I don't want to sit behind a desk. I want to be in the fighting hole. So I'm stepping off to a career where at any instant my life could be gone. My life could be gone. I was an angry, bitter teenager, mad at the world. And all boot camp did is just made me a more well-disciplined, angry teenager, mad at the world. And when I started preparing this message and I started thinking about Brother Larry's ministry, I started thinking back to my time. See, I got involved in something that was really dark and really wicked. Many of you have heard my testimony. Some of you are new. You may have heard it. But I practiced witchcraft for 6 years. And I was deep and dark into it when I was in the Marine Corps. And folks, let me tell you, I learned more about witchcraft from my time in the Marine Corps than I ever did outside. You see, the thing about the Marine Corps is you're brought together with a whole group of people from across the country, from all walks of life. You know, sometimes we focus on our college campuses as being a hotbed of just secular thinking and philosophy, and we forget about our military. See, the military now, if you read stories, you know, the chaplains can't do what they really should be doing. Many of them are to preach Christ is putting their jobs in jeopardy. And listen, I experienced that the whole entire time I was in the Marine Corps, not once during the 4 years did I ever see a light of Christ. Never did I get an opportunity to hear the gospel. And listen, I had Christians in my unit. I know it. I confronted many of them. And the sad thing is me, as a witch, just into pagan arts, knew more about the Bible than they did. And so I started thinking about my time in the Marine Corps and such the importance of Brother Larry's ministry over there. He has an opportunity to reach these guys who many could be in desperate situations. They may be deployed at any minute. They're away from their families. And they have no hope. And they need that light of Jesus Christ. But as I continued to think about that, I started to think, wait a minute, you know what? It's not just for missionaries. And that really every single one of us that has placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we've got a mission. We've got a mission. And all of us need to be, no matter where we are, whether we're serving in full-time ministry or not, we can be that light for Jesus Christ. We can be that light. And it's important to see that we need to fulfill our mission, but it starts with becoming missions-minded. Our mind has to be permeated with the idea of getting the gospel out to the lost people. Look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's a cool little passage here. I love this passage. It's kind of cool. On Wednesday night, I just got done teaching the Freedom Finders Life Group, verse 17. And it's kind of cool. We'll lead in with that. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But it doesn't stop there. Look what it goes on to say. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen, tonight we're going to take a look and see how can you become missions minded. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for tonight. I want to thank you again for this opportunity here. And Lord, I just pray tonight that we'll see this as an opportunity to glorify you and to honor you, to really dive into your truth, to stand on your word, to become encouraged, to become strengthened, to be those shining lights in this dark world. Lord, help us all to just humbly come before you, to just take in your truth, and to have the courage to search the areas of our lives that we need to change so that we can stand more in that new creation where you've made us. Lord, help me tonight to be a spirit-filled teacher, sharing your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding with everyone here. And may we just go out there and see the importance of having our minds just focused on getting the gospel out to the lost world. We want to honor you and give you all the praise. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So here you go. How are we going to be missions minded? If, as Pastor Dan said, as we learned in Sunday morning, you know, we're all preachers. We're all preachers. We all need to get the word out. And if we're going to do that, we got to be focused on that. How do we do this? Well, the first way is by understanding the price that Jesus Christ paid. You need to understand that ultimate price that he paid. Listen, salvation and forgiveness of sins did not come free or cheap. It didn't. Listen, as followers of Christ, we can become very complacent, okay? Very complacent from our true purpose, which is sharing the gospel and how we receive that purpose. You know, we can slip into our daily routines, you know, sleep, eat, work, play. Sleep, eat, work, play. Okay, alarm goes off, whoop, go about my day. It's very easy. We can slip into that. You know, we can do the same thing here at church. We come on Sundays, and it's come, it's sit, stand, sing, sit, stand, pray, shake, hello, how you doing, sit, listen, ooh, amen. All right, what's for lunch? We get into our routines. It can become so complacent, and as we do that, what happens is we forget how we got into this privilege in the first place. We start to take our eyes off of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we start filling it with all of just our daily routines and our tasks. We take our minds off the amazing grace God has given us through the crosswork of Christ, and we allow the cares of the world to creep in and to fill our priority list. 2 Corinthians 5:18 states, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." That word reconciled there is such an awesome word. It means so much. Because without it, we wouldn't have this great blessing that we have here. That word reconciled means brought into friendship from a state of disagreement or enmity. In other words, you're at odds with someone. Someone is your enemy. But you go and you reconcile with that person, and now no longer are they your enemy, but they're your friend. They're your friend. You know, that's what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, the best way to destroy your enemy is to make him your friend. Is to make him your friend. And you know what, folks? That's what God did with us through his son, Jesus Christ. We were nothing but sinners, just waiting for his wrath and eternity separated from him. But Jesus Christ came down and paid that ultimate penalty. He paid that death so that we can be reconciled and brought into God's great family. Colossians 1:21 says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." You were separated, but now you're reconciled. We were once enemies of God, but now we're brought into friendship with God. And when we allow our routines to overwhelm that thought, when we take our minds off the crosswork of Christ, that's when we start to lose that missions-mindedness. And we forget to share our faith. We have so many opportunities that come along that just slip right on by. God is here trying to reconcile mankind to him. I mean, look down at verse 19. He says, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself." Unto himself. "Not imputing their trespasses unto them." Listen, in Christ, your sins are no longer on your account. You know, when that day comes that you step off into eternity, if you're in Christ, God no longer sees you in your sins. He sees you in his son. Jesus Christ is there and says, no, he's not a sinner. He's with us. He's in our family. Don't let that thought slip from your mind. Don't let that go away. Don't let it be overcrowded by all of the stuff we think we have to do. Because, you know, I think if most of us would pull out our to-do lists, okay, that we have to do each day, each week, I don't think most of that stuff we're going to bring with us into eternity. You know, unless sharing the gospel is on our task list for the day. We're not going to bring any of that stuff with us. And yeah, I understand there's things we have to do. But what we need to do is we need to take those priorities of each day and those task lists and see, how can I insert Jesus Christ into them? Man, when I'm out grocery shopping, how can I insert Christ? How can I tell the person at the counter about Christ? I remember something my dad used to do. It really impressed me. It was awesome. Every time we went out to lunch, when I was serving with him or out to dinner, the lady would come and take our order. And before she left, he would say, "Hey, we're getting ready to pray for our meal. Is there anything that we can pray for you about?" And it's amazing. Sometimes they would go, no, I'm fine. Walk away. 2 minutes later, "You know, I just thought of something." And they would share a burden or a problem. And there was an opportunity for us to share Christ. Just simple things that we can do. Look, on our task list was go to lunch together. But listen, one thing I can tell you about my dad is he never lost sight of the crosswork of Christ. Everything he did, Christ was there. It was an opportunity to share Christ. And you can't let that stuff be out, just crowded in your head to where you forget about what Christ had done for us on the cross. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. I mean, this verse sums it up so good. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." God wants you to be his righteousness. And that's why Christ came, to die on the cross. Think about this for a minute, okay? Think about this. How many good works did we have to do in order to convince Christ to come down and pay the penalty on the cross? None. Zero. Zero. Yet he still came, didn't he? He still came to pay that penalty. He still loved us so much that he was willing to take on our sin so we can be made the righteousness. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Man, don't lose sight of that amazing grace that God had, that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. There was nothing we could do. He did it all. People who rejected him, despised him, spit on him, beat him, he went to the cross for. Don't lose sight of that. If you keep that fresh on your mind, the ultimate price he paid, man, that'll get you motivated. That'll help you to realize there's people out there that need that good news. Never lose sight of the cross work of Christ. Listen, if we're to become missions minded, we must keep fresh on our minds the cross work of Christ. Remember the price that Jesus Christ paid. All it would take was just one of those Christians there when I was at Camp Lejeune or overseas to just be that light, to keep Christ fresh on his mind. And he could have been a light. He could have been a light. I know in the last year that I was at Camp Lejeune, I was doubting even what I was believing. I was fresh for the gospel. That was the only reason why I went home. I was a wreck. I gave up on a 20-year career to try and get my life straight. And the only place I knew of stability was at home. And I knew my dad was preaching Christ and I hated it, but it was the only stability I knew. And he got to be that light for me. Listen, we can be a light no matter where we go, no matter what we do. But it starts with keeping the crosswork of Christ fresh on our mind. The second thing is by accepting the ministry that God has given you. Not only keeping the crosswork of Christ fresh on your mind, but you need to just embrace the ministry that he's already given you. You know, there's a lot of people in the church who are just wondering, what should I do for Christ? What should I do? I'm trying to figure it out. Should I go in the children's ministry? Should I help the deaf ministry? I don't know, that's sign language, that's a lot. You know, maybe I should be an usher. What should I do? Some of them are waiting for this light to shine. You know, when they walk outside their door, I will be an usher. Thank you, Lord. Now I know what I'm doing. You know, some are waiting for this. Some are waiting for peace. Some are just, you know, they're just struggling. What should I do? The problem is if you're caught in that debate, you're missing out on the one clear ministry that God has given you. And it says it right here in our passage. Look at verse 18. He says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." And look at this next part. This is great. "And hath given to us the ministry of" what? Reconciliation. There you go. You want to know what ministry you need to do for Christ? Right there. The ministry of reconciliation. That is one ministry that he has given to every single Christian. And that ministry of reconciliation is getting out the good news of Jesus Christ. Sharing Christ with others. Sharing Christ with others. Listen, the only way people will come to trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is if we go out and tell them. Go out and tell them. We got to have those beautiful feet, like Pastor Dan was saying. You know, he shared with us that wonderful graphic image of his feet this morning. And you know what? I had to sit there going, amen, because I've got the foot cream in our shower. Okay, because mine are the same way. Mine are the same way. Shauna's sitting there and, you know, I could probably shave her legs with my feet, you know. But thankfully, you know, yeah, I went kind of off on that one. Thankfully, though, as Pastor Dan said, he's not looking for physical feet that are beautiful. You know, I got elbows that are the same. That's the only two spots, feet and elbows. Bible doesn't say anything about elbows that I know of. So, no. Remember the beautiful feet he was talking about. From Romans 10, 13 through 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. It's that simple. Paul even talks about in a later section. You know, just I'm worried about you all because I don't want you to be pulled away from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. You're a sinner. You're lost. You're going to face God's wrath. Just call on Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? If they haven't believed, okay, they can't call on him. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They can't believe if they never hear about him. They never hear about Christ. How shall they hear without a preacher? In order for them to hear, God, somebody's got to go out and tell them about it. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We got to go out and share the truth. But folks, not only should we go out and share the truth, but we need to live the truth. Sometimes living the truth is the biggest example. I share with you my dad. I love my dad. But in that time frame, he and I clashed a lot. He told me a lot about the gospel, but I wanted nothing to do with it until I watched him. And I saw him live it out day after day after day after day. And finally, I said, there's got to be something to this. Because, folks, I remember the day when he used to booze it up and have a good old time. Okay? But now I'm seeing something different. I'm seeing something different. And now what he's saying starts to make sense. We got to live it. Romans 12, 1 through 2, one of my favorite passages, says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable just to live out Christ. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, if we'll go out and we'll renew our minds with God's word, if we'll go out and we'll live Christ, that doesn't mean perfection. That means if we mess up, we acknowledge it, we seek to make it right. Not looking for perfection, but if we go out and we live Christ, it says we'll be the living proof of God's will. People will look at you and go, now I get it. Now I know what it means when all of these Christians talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen, don't let a lack of clear direction keep you from the one ministry that is so desperately needed and one that every single one of us is called to. Listen, think about this. Think about this. Think about if every single Christian got out and shared their faith at every single opportunity they had. Wow, what a difference. What a difference it would have made. Man, if those Christians that were in my unit at that time would have just stood for Christ, what a difference it could have made in my life. What a great example it could have been to me. You know, when I went and confronted them with what I knew about the Bible, which wasn't much, but it was enough. And they were able to just graciously and lovingly share the truth with me and refute what I was saying would have made a whole lot of difference. A whole lot of difference. Don't let a lack of clear direction keep you from that one ministry. Listen, there are millions of people that need to hear the good news about Jesus Christ, and we have to go out and give it to them. If you're to become missions-minded, you must understand the price that Jesus paid and accept the one ministry that every Christian has been given. But the third point is by growing in your understanding of God's Word. It's what it boils down to. You got to grow in your understanding of God's truth. You may be thinking, listen, it'd be wonderful. I want to go out and share the gospel. I do, but I don't know what to say. What do I tell them? I don't think I'm equipped for that. And that may be true to a certain extent, but look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him, and hath committed unto us the word of what? Reconciliation. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, God's given it to us. It's right here in his word. You want to know what to say? It's right here. But you got to get in there. You got to learn it. You got to study it. You got to make it a part of your life. Not only have we been given the ministry of reconciliation, but we've also been given the word. God doesn't say, listen, I want you to do this. Now go. All right. Flounder around. You'll figure it out. No. He gives us the instruction. He gives us mature believers to help train us. But we got to get in there and we got to learn it. That's why it's so important to learn God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Great passage. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You want to get out and share the gospel, you got to get in God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to study. You got to be a workman. You got to have a desire to learn and grow from God's word. But there's another reason why growing in God's word is so important. And that's to better defend yourself from discouragement, wrong thinking, and the slow temptations of the flesh. See, I say slow temptations because that's how Satan works. Okay? He doesn't just knock on your door, bleh, I'm here to ruin your life. Okay? You know, I got to play Satan that once, you know, bleh. Now, anybody experience that? If so, I'll talk to you later afterwards, okay? But no, that's not what he's doing. That's not what he's doing. He's waiting for you to let down your guard. And he'll kind of lead you astray here, lead you astray there. You'll make one compromise, which will lead to two compromises. And listen, that I'm telling you, that's what happened to those Christians in the military. They got focused more on serving in the military than they did serving their one commanding officer that they should have been, and that was Christ. And they let the isolation of that lifestyle lead to compromise. Lead to compromise. And it happens all the time. It happens all the time. How do you defend yourself against that? We got to get in God's word. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord. You do that through studying his word. Listen, we have an enemy that wants to lead you astray. He wants to lead you astray. He wants to keep you from that one ministry that we all have to do, and that's sharing the gospel. And he'll find every avenue, every opening that he can. But if you're standing on God's truth, and that alone won't happen. It won't happen. You'll have that defense up, and you'll be that shining light. Listen, before I conclude, I'm going to have Brian Danford come up and share his testimony because he's got the opposite side I went into the military lost as lost can be. And he went into the military as a believer. Well, share your testimony.
Yep, I'm kind of a low-key guy getting up here in the middle of Shannon talking. I feel like I have to turn up the personality or something. Thank you. I don't even know how to start now. When I joined the military, my background was different than Shannon's. I was saved. I was a Christian. I had the light of Christ inside of me when I left Daytona Beach for the Navy. But my experience in the military wasn't any brighter than Shannon's. He kind of gave my testimony. I don't have to say anything. I was one of those guys that I left here and went out into the world, and the world ate me alive. And it wasn't something that happened overnight. There was no bleh. Nobody knocked down the door. It was gradual over time. And I just want to kind of give that story tonight fairly quickly just so you can understand the need for missionaries, for the shining light of the gospel to be out there for our men and women in the military. A little bit of background. I was saved in January of 1995. And when I got saved, man, I was excited. I dove in head first into the Bible, ate it up. I learned as much as I could. Anytime the doors were open here, I was here learning, growing. Just a great, exciting time of growth in my life. And as a matter of fact, back then, the church was about a third of the size it is now, and the church was going through kind of a regrowth period with a lot of change. And before I left for the military, I had the opportunity to come on staff here for about a year before I left. And at that time, the whole staff consisted of Pastor Dan, myself, and my mom. And for any of you that know any of the three of us, that was a crazy time. It was exciting. I mean, there was so much changing. Everything we did, it was new and it was fresh. It was probably the first time we had done it. At any given time, at least two out of three of us had no idea what we were doing. We were just hanging on for the ride. I was young and single, so I was the guy that knew what was going on. But during that time, I helped put together, I don't know if it was the first, but one of the first missions conferences that we had here at the church. And that was my first exposure to missions. And man, it impacted me, just the idea that these men and women would give everything they had in their lives to go out and to share the gospel with others. And it was the day after Christmas 1996 that I left for boot camp. Man, I was the man. I knew it all. I was going to be the guy that went out there, had the light of Christ in me, and I was going to convert the Navy. The military was going to be saved because of me. And I left on a sunny afternoon from Jacksonville the day after Christmas. It was in the 70s that day. And I arrived in Great Lake, Illinois in the middle of the night, sub-zero temperatures, in the dark with a bunch of people that were scared, didn't know what was going on, completely out of my element. And it was a culture shock for me. And a lot of the folks that have been in the Navy a while back, they'll speak scornfully over the kinder, gentler Navy. The changes that have come about that, you can't curse at recruits anymore. You can't do the physical punishment in boot camp. The bathrooms have stalls, doors on them. Just things like that that the older sailors will say made the Navy soft. When I arrived, some of that stuff was just starting to happen. It was a transitional time period for the Navy. I was in boot camps during the ACTS time period of boot camp in the Navy. And if it was the ACTS time period, my recruit division commander, he was Peter. He hadn't gotten the memo yet about grace. The yelling and the screaming and the physical punishment, all of it was there. And me, coming from a loving, secure, Christ-filled environment and going into that, the purpose of boot camp is to bring you low. It's to remove self from you, to take any self-will out of you so that they can build you back up, in my case, into the sailor that they want you to be. And as Brother Larry said this morning, it's through your weakness that God's strength shows through you. And I can tell you, at boot camp, I think that was the closest I was ever to the Lord in my life, because I had nothing else. I was as low as I could be, and I was reaching up. Every day I spent in prayer. I remember 2 in the morning one night, mopping the floors or swabbing the deck, just tears running down my face, singing Amazing Grace. I mean, I was a young Christian. I didn't know anything else. I was singing Amazing Grace, mopping the floor. And at boot camp, I led 2 people in my division to Christ. And I was so dependent upon the Lord because I was low. And then after I graduated boot camp, I went off to the Naval Nuclear Power Training Command in Orlando. And I came home, I was excited. I was going to be close to my home turf again. For the first couple of weeks, I was doing good. I was coming to church on Sundays. I brought a couple of my shipmates with me. I remember standing up here in my Cracker Jack uniform one day, giving a testimony, and I had a couple of shipmates in the back getting to hear me speak up here. I was going to wear that tonight, but it shrunk. I don't know. Honey, you didn't wash it right or something. But once I got to NNPTC, I had a lot of things going against me. For one, my home church was 60 miles away. My support system, the pillar and the ground of the truth, my friends, those who edified me and lifted me up and held me accountable, they were 60 miles away. On base, there was a chaplain, a Christian chaplain, but it was more of a presence, kind of a counseling service. There was no chapel here at the base in Orlando at that time. So coming to church happened a couple of times, and it kind of faded away once I got into the routine. And it was my home turf. After 10 weeks of boot camp, I got here on a Friday night. By Saturday afternoon, I had my car. All these people from all over the country come into their first duty station, and I was the guy with the car. That was cool. I mean, I had friends. And like Shannon said, the devil is subtle. We were talking about in Bible Institute this week, you know, one of the first steps of temptation is the devil appealing to innocent appetites. There's nothing wrong with having friends, but I had a lot of friends. And just to help you understand what the nuclear power program is like, and I say this at the risk of sounding arrogant, but just so you understand, the nuclear power program in the Navy is the most difficult academic program in the United States military. They say 1 in 1,000 can do it. When I got to Orlando, I had come from a place where everybody was brought low. And when we got to Orlando, it was all the brightest of the bright, the smartest of the smart, and they let us know it every day. You're the top 1% of the top 1%. You're the elite. You're the cream of the crop. And that's all we would hear. I didn't know one other Christian in Orlando at that time. I had a lot of friends. I had a 40-hour minimum school week plus a mandatory 40-hour study time. And all the information was confidential. We couldn't leave the school. So I was at school 80 hours a week. So I was filling my mind. Where before my mind was filled with the study of God's word, my mind was filled with nuclear physics and heat transfer and fluid flow and things I don't even remember how to pronounce anymore. And it had an effect on me. And I think if anybody has been away from their church family for any amount of time, you understand that it starts to have an effect on you. When you're not renewing your mind in this, and your mind becomes filled with whatever you're exposing yourself to, it changes you. And my old self started to creep back in. I was very much a product of the 80s rock and roll scene. And over time, you know, you hear the term about the way sailors speak, that my vocabulary started to change. I don't want to stand up here and talk about and glorify my sinful decisions, but I wasn't speaking like a Christian anymore. I wasn't being a light to people. By the time I left Orlando with the equivalent of a 4-year degree in nuclear engineering that I got in 12 months, that's what the curriculum is like, went up to Goose Creek, South Carolina to nuclear prototype, which was basically a submarine on the job training on a nuclear submarine with guys that had been out at sea for 6 or 12 years, crusty sailors. And the atmosphere was even darker. Again, no chapel on base, no regular service. There was no Bible teaching church ministering to the sailors or having any outreach to the sailors on the base at that time. There was no missionary. It was just me and I don't want to say the light of Christ was dimming within me, but I wasn't letting it shine forth. And the friends I was making and the way they talked and the shift work, 12 hours a day, every single day on a rotating basis, day and night. By the time I was getting close to graduating, anybody that knew me, you wouldn't have known that I was a believer in Christ. I was the guy that Shannon was just talking about. My mind was filled with serving the wrong master. And I graduated at the top of my class. I was picked up as a staff pickup, which meant instead of going to sea, I was going to stay behind for 2 years and teach other nukes. And in order to do that, I had to sign an additional 2-year contract. And I was on my way to my physical for my reenlistment, and I was in a bad car accident that ultimately ended my Navy career. And at that time, I was also going through a lot of other personal struggles from bad decisions I had made, and I was what you would call in crisis mode. I was as low as I'd ever been in my life, and I was reaching. I needed help. And Mom called the base, found the chaplain's office, and had the chaplain seek me out. And the conversation I had, I poured my heart out to him, and I said, you know, sir, he was an officer, I called him sir. I was on fire for the Lord, I was living for Christ, I was growing, and I just let myself get away from it. I've been making wrong decisions, I've been living wrong, I haven't been living my identity in Christ, and I need to get back there again. Like Pastor Dan said, you know, the church is good about people there to lend an ear, but the purpose is to point each other towards the sufficiency of Christ. And that's what I needed. That's what I was looking for. And that chaplain looked me in the eye, and he said, son, this is a Christian chaplain. What you're facing is real-life problems, and you're naive if you think you're going to find answers in Jesus Christ. That's why I thank God for men like Larry Ferguson, who's out there in Korea sharing the gospel of Christ and shining the light of Christ. Any single Christian that goes out into an environment like the military and thinks that they're going to save the world is a little bit naive, because we need a support system. Those men out there, men and women in the military, they need a solid support system. They need local churches planted. They need the light of Christ either on or nearby their base, reaching out to them and supporting them and praying for them. And that's what this is all about. That's what Brother Larry's out there doing. That's what Shannon's talking about tonight. And I just want to tell you from personal experience, it's very real. The need is real. And just keep that in mind as you're seeing these faces up on the screen. They're real men, and they're out there ministering to real people just like me and Shannon. Thank you.
I just want to conclude with just a few thoughts. Just as Brian was saying, listen, think of every possible sin you can think of, and it's surrounding every single military base out there. Okay? You walk out the gate of every single military base, and you're confronted with every possible sin that you can think of. Okay? And I can tell you this from experience, I indulged in most of them during that time. Military needs the love of Christ. They need people to go there and to share the light. With that, I want to say I had the great privilege tonight of preaching from one brother who did that. The Schoenwetters let me use Jeff Schoenwetter's Bible, the one that he had at Camp Lejeune. And Brother Jeff Schoenwetter lost his battle with cancer. But from what I hear, when he had his Bible there at Camp Lejeune, he was ridiculed for it. You know, Bible reader, blah. But the minute they got deployed to Iraq, guess what? Those Marines were coming to him, and they wanted to learn more. And because he was a light there at that time, he was able to be that light of Christ to them. And folks, listen, it doesn't just have to be to the military. Think about where you work. You work in the school system. You can be a light. You know, you work in law enforcement. Be a light. You know, teenagers out there, if you're thinking of going into the military, listen, take heed to what we're telling you tonight. It's a rough rough lifestyle. You have every possibility working against you there, but you can be a light. You can be a light. But listen, you got to be missions-minded. You got to have your mind completely focused. And in order to have that missions-minded focus, you need to always understand the price that Jesus Christ paid for you. Don't lose sight of the cross. You need to accept that ministry that God has given you no matter what. Every day is an opportunity to get the gospel out. Whether it's through sharing a tract with someone. I heard of somebody who would go in the grocery store and take gospel tracts and put them in cases of beer. You know? I mean, hey, get the gospel out. He had somebody call him that bought a 12-pack and was sitting there drinking it and got to it and read it and wanted to know more about Christ and got saved. Every opportunity. That's your ministry. That's your ministry. And the third thing is to grow in your understanding of God's Word. You got to get grounded. You don't know where to start. We have so many opportunities here at Crossroads to get grounded in God's Word. Take advantage of them. Take advantage of them.